Не. Why wouldn't
what's
they?
The, what's the capacity of your
room?
Yeah.
Take a seat. I'm
just gonna break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Come on through. It's look, it's gonna be an intimate one today. We've had a rough week. We'll get into it though. And, come in, don't be shy. I assume so. It doesn't matter really. I mean, if it's not, they'll come. Look, I don't really have a backstage to emerge from in any sort of grandiose fashion, but if you want to, for the recording, put a nice little applause together for your hosts for the day, Mr. Matt Harvey and Mr. Mark Yadda. Thanks for coming, for starters. Thanks for tracking us down. Those of you who have the tickets through Promotix will know what I'm talking about. We've had a change of venue, because our last venue had structural integrity issues, which, yeah.
There you go.
Come on in. Come on in, you haven't missed much. We're just recapping our week. How we doing? Are we all right? Yeah? Good. Oh, this is a nice little crowd. You guys are happy. For you guys, we had a change of venue, right? Because our last venue had structural integrity issues. Right? Right. That is the correct space. That is the exact... Everyone who I've said that to has
been... And it wasn't like at the Burbs or anything. Like, it's a big city building.
Yeah, there are businesses in that building. And I don't know what those businesses are going to do. Like, for a while, I feel like they're going to have to not work. Because people can't go in there. It's a bizarre set of circumstances. It's nothing to do with the guys who are running the venue. It's just they unfortunately landed inside the top layer of a hell mouth, I guess. I don't know. There has to be something down there that is...
Like, we knew our show had integrity issues.
Yeah, but that's not to do with the structure. That's just us. But thank you so much for coming and for finding us. And for sticking with us, you look so worried, ma'am, in the back. You're like, have I arrived in the right space, and should I stay? It's too late now. There is no escape, because these guys are all blocking the door, and we've paid them to grab anyone who tries to. We'll discuss that later. thank you for coming out. It's a comedy festival. I know you got it like 1,000 choices. Not at 4:30 on a Saturday. But, you know, just in general, like you could just be at home. We've got Netflix, right? Louis C.K.'s on Netflix. So, thanks for choosing us over Louis C.K. No, I appreciate it. Have we done much in the festival? Have we seen much? No, there's not lots of no's. That's why you're here, to get some recommendations, which is excellent, excellent. The two guests that we do have on today, and it is down to two, unfortunately, are our third guest, the wonderful Jennifer Wong, was unable to make it today. But I saw her show last night. It's called How the English Harder. And it's very funny. I do highly recommend, if it's not sold out, to go check it out. She'll be running, I don't know if it's for the rest of the festival, but for most of it, she's at the Forum. So I will still give her her plug, because she was nice enough to agree to come out before everything fell to shit. it's a great show. Very good show. I'm very amused. But that's not to say that the guests who did manage to make it in today aren't just as good. In fact, they're better because they're here. You know? Right? The show would be very short if they weren't here.
That's true.
Like, I don't know. Like, I have a whole festival show, but I'd rather that you came to see the show. To see the show. You know? Like, it's good for me numbers-wise. I'm doing... insider industry jokes to people who don't give a fuck. That's good. That's fine. That's what gets us through. No, but thank you so much again for sticking through it. So no one's seen anything. I was going to ask if people have enjoyed anything.
Nobody.
You are being dubbed in, so you've seen something. What have you seen? Come on, you can tell me.
Yeah, I saw some comics in a pub here.
Oh yeah, which pub? Which
on
one?
Monday.
The Expert.
Every Monday.
Is it Monday Spleen?
Expert.
The year, so.
Yeah, is it? Was it Spleen?
It's not only for.
That's alright. Do you remember the bar?
No.
No, that's fine. That's alright. It's a lot of expectation from me, but it was good. Successful evening. Was it?
Four or five comics.
Just before the festival started.
During, I think.
June, okay, so everyone there would have probably had a festival show. So you got a nice little taster there, that's good.
Yeah,
that's right. Anyone that you remember who did particularly well? You don't have to, it's okay if you don't. You
were already shame. Anyone who didn't do well?
You were already reluctant to speak, so I'm not going to force it out of you too much if you don't remember. You can just say no, it's fine.
No, you're
drinking already, so I don't expect, you know, we'll blame the alcohol. I understand, our country's like that too. We're just like, no, we don't remember anything, we drank it all away.
That's
our whole history. thanks. But we might get into it, actually, to be honest. For anyone who's not sure, which is all of you, I'm Matt Harvey. This is Marty Adam. We do this during the festival as a way to... it's hard to get your name out there as a performer. There's over 700 shows in the festival, and it's just like, you don't trust any of the people flyering out there. I know that because I've been out there flyering. I've seen the looks of disgust. They're just like, oh fuck this again. But there are some genuinely great performers around this country, and a lot of them do festival shows. And so we've spent a lot of hours watching open micers and writing alongside these people. So we know which ones are worth avoiding. We won't name them, but we will bring in some of the ones that we quite like, and you guys can make up your own mind based on that. But we do recommend seeing everyone. We've got two shows that we've done prior to this. They're online. If you want some more recommendations, they're up there. And we'll be doing one more next week with a couple more guests who are also doing shows. So come back if you enjoyed it, please.
A little taste test.
Yeah. And I'm doing my own show.
Exactly.
But that's irrelevant, we'll talk about that later. So, we might get our first guest up and get this thing rolling, because you guys are very unsure of what you're walking into. And we need to provide some laughter. That's not just us. So, I might bring up to the stage a wonderful comic who I've seen perform all over the Melbourne scene. He's doing a show, he'll tell you, I guess. But you're going to enjoy him a lot, Mr.
Woo! Thank you, Phil. Welcome.
Hey, you guys. I'm 30 years old, and last year I had what I can only describe as a near-death experience. To put that into perspective, it wasn't scary enough that my whole life flashed before my eyes the way they tell you it will in the movies. But it was scary enough that I imagined what I would see if I was dying. Now, I'm 30 years old and I only had three things, three significant memories, one for every 10 years. That's shithouse, guys. That is nowhere near enough. But the worst part of that is that two of those memories were just really nice pizzas that I've had. Oh, it's a sad thing to figure out, you guys. I work in advertising, so I'm part of the problem. And I work in social media management, right? And when I tell people that, they often think that it's like just about going out and finding dank memes. And it's not quite all about the dank memes. Like, that is part of my job. I go out, I find them, I post them to the Facebook page. And the kids, because it's an aspirational teenage fashion brand, right? So the kids are like, oh my god, it's an animal doing people shit with words I can relate to. This brand gets me. So that's half of my job. But the problem is, because they are an aspirational teenage fashion brand, every week they just send me back, the client, a list of dank mimosas where they don't think that the girls in the photos were sexy enough. Which means it's now part of my day job that I do to pay rent every Friday morning to Google image search sexy teen girls. Oh, yuck, that is disgusting. If you ever want to play Russian roulette with an anxiety problem, may I suggest Google image searching sexy teen girls in a fucking open plan office? There are no walls to protect me from the madness that is on my screen. Every week it's like, I need to burn the office down so nobody knows what I've done. But the problem is, we live in a country that has just passed data retention laws. So the government can see everything we're doing whenever the fuck they want. So there is definitely an AFP agent somewhere in Canberra every Friday morning who's getting pinged. He's at it again! The weird guy in Cremorne, he's at it again! And because my work happens to a schedule, it's the same things on the same dates for the same clients. So they're going to be so confused. They're just going to be there like, I don't know what it is with him, man. But every Friday morning... But only on Friday morning. It's the exact same Google searches. It's the sexy teen girls, followed by the men with power tools. And then how can I stop crying at my desk? So weird. That part of my job is so strange that I didn't even realize how bad the other part of my job is. Because the other part of doing social media management for a teenage fashion brand is replying to the messages we get. And we only get one kind of message, but we get it 15 times a day. And it's just, hey, welcome. That's not the message. The message we get is excited teenagers who want to show us them in what they've just brought. So it's just like every day, 15 times a day, it's like, oh my God, love my new shorts, babe. XOXOXO forever. And then a photo of them in the shorts. And they don't realize they're sending that to me. I have to reply as if I'm one of these people. I'm like an anthropologist trapped deep in the white girl Congo at this point.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys this scenario. I've been telling this joke for a while, and last year, a guy came up to me after a gig, because people will talk to you whether you want them to or not. And he came and he said, Anthony, I thought what you did was really funny, but I just thought it was strange you spent so much time worrying on stage about whether the guys at work think you're a sex pest or something. Because you don't need to worry about that, mate. You don't need to worry about that at all. Everyone's going to think that when they meet you anyway. So fuck that guy. Thanks. Yeah, you're very welcome.
Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Anthony Ginola, ladies and gentlemen. That's an interesting lot of problems, like work-related problems.
I'm a socialist as well, so advertising is fucked for me.
I love that.
Go pay the bills.
Yeah.
I guess so, if paying the bills comes out. I mean, at least, I don't know, like 10 years from now, you can guarantee your like casework will be coming to every festival show that you've put together. You've landed some sort of audience, right? Your FBI caseworker. Well, not that we have the FBI, but you know what I mean.
But just AFP putting together a dossier.
Absolutely.
One extra sale every year.
Someone. Like, you know, I'm
just like a reviewer, really.
Yeah. They'll have a stakeout partner. There'll be two of them.
Yeah.
That's nice. Do tell the fine people about a bit more about your show, names, dates, all that sort of stuff.
Okay, it's called Just Like Buddha. It is in Thousand Pound Bend, which is just one street over. Ticket holders get happy hour drink prices all night, which is a great selling
point. Nice.
And it's largely about that. It's about me trying to balance what I do for work with what I think as a person and hilarity ensues, I hope. There's a great bit about magic mushrooms in there and a really weird Tinder story.
I think my favourite thing about the set you just did is this guy came in halfway through when you were like, and teenage girls are like, look at my shorts!
Yeah.
Which, without context, this guy must have been very confused.
Even with context,
yeah.
It's a problematic scenario.
I understand this completely. When I was knocking together my thesis, it was on dark comedy. And one of the subsets of subjects that I was looking at was suicide. And so for a year, I was doing heavy Googles into suicide.
Yeah.
And I spent the entire year wondering and worrying that something would happen to me. I would vanish during the year.
Yeah.
And the police would check my history, because that would be one of the first things they do. And they'd be like, well, this is clearly what's happened.
Let's not look for him.
Yeah. He's taking
like,
care
no,
of himself.
No.
Yeah.
The other strange thing is what it does to your display advertising.
Yes.
Because
yes,
the whole
right.
Shit's linked. So I
they form a profile of you quite quickly, and your advertising changes very fast.
Yeah, I because my two main customers are Russian, not Russian, but they're they're
sexy ladies in your area,
teenage fashion, and then I do a tool company,
right?
And so now it's like
you think you're the dirtiest drunk.
Yeah, it's real weird.
You're like the guy going on Contiki at 40.
Come on,
party ladies.
Still hasn't got rid of hostels.
That's who they assume you are. Oh, that's nice that the internet has that image of you. I do worry about the... I don't worry so much about it, but I wonder about... Because you can look at what Google knows about you a bit. You can see some of the ads that they recommend for you, that sort of stuff. You know when Netflix just changed their... I don't know if you guys know this. Netflix has changed their star ratings to thumbs up, thumbs down. Because the alt-right attacked Amy Schumer and, like, shot her thing right down because they hate her. And so they're like, oh, well, we'll try and do something about this. But they put a percentage rating that they're like, we think you will like this percent. And so that's how they recommend things now. And I found out that Netflix thinks I have an 86% compatibility with Paul Blart.
Paul Blart Mall,
yeah. Which is really upsetting.
Because it's more like 100, am I right?
That's
just
really like, it's changed.
No, I'm
not
surprised that that's what you're into, if I'm honest.
You bastards. They're selling me down the river.
Your names is gone.
You've got to realize this whole podcast is recommendations.
Yes, I'm going to sleep all my book up today. And when's your run till?
Yeah,
the end of the fest, Sunday 23rd, 8 till 9 every night.
All right, thank you so much.
You're not
finished, ladies and gentlemen. You guys are in for a delightful next guest. Former, possibly, but still, I don't know, former host of The Leak, which is a TV show that I helped write for, did political satire, and a man who, from Adelaide, but don't hold that against him, please, and he's doing some great work around town. You're going to enjoy him a lot, Mr. Pat McCaffrey.
Woo! Like Matt said, I am here from Adelaide. I've actually moved to Melbourne as of August last year. I grew up in Adelaide, moved to Melbourne. And I do a lot of political comedy, generally. And political comedy can be a bit risky, because every city you go to has a sort of different political climate, right? But the good thing about moving from Adelaide to Melbourne is we're quite similar, right? Both cities are relatively left-wing, relatively, left-wing places, apart from the very intimidating gentleman sitting in a very nice blue shirt. I'm sure votes liberal. Although you've got a corona, so clearly you've travelled. although I also feel like the two of you shouldn't be here because you're baby boomers and you should be in the home that you own. And if the rest of us won't. I don't know, maybe some of you guys are gamblers and with lots of money, I don't know. But anyway, so normally I do political comedy, right? And that's such a knowing laugh. the east wing of this house is mine. But yeah, in fact, if your previous venue had structural issues, this guy's demolishing it and turning it into an apartment block to sell the students to make some coin. I'm sure you're lovely, by the way, so sorry for picking on you. I'll, look, if you see me on the street one day, throw me 10 cents. just coming to terms with the fact that I'm running home. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, political comedy. Different in each city, right? Like I said though, the move from Adelaide to Melbourne hasn't been too difficult in terms of like adjusting to the political climate. And I did, the show I'm doing here, I did for a couple of weeks back in Adelaide, back in February, back in my hometown. Hometown could have supported me a little better, that's not the point. no, they were lovely. But just before that, right, in January, just for a bit of fun, I decided to do some gigs in a little town called Perth. Has anyone here been to Perth before?
Yeah.
You have? Yeah? Why? Why are you in Perth?
Work sent me there.
Right, yeah. So who had you pissed off at work? It's a fucking... The entire time I was walking around Perth, I'm sorry, I was walking around Perth and I felt like going up to everyone who was there and saying, hey, excuse me, do you know you can leave? It's such a crazy city, right? And like, here's the thing about Perth, like politically it was a big change of climate, but like also they fucking love Donald Trump over there in a fruity, but politically it was a big change of climate. It's also like the most violent, stabby and hottest city I have ever been in my life, right? So excuse me, sir, sorry to pick on you, no right or wrong answer to this question. How many arrests in your life have you seen?
Arrests,
yeah. Like, you know, the cops arresting someone. How many times have you seen that happening on the street?
Never really.
Never, really? Great answer, right? One time I asked that question and a guy was like, 70 to 80? And like, I was gonna follow up and I was like, hold on, this guy's either a cop or a criminal. And I don't think I wanna know either way. Okay, but zero, great answer. That's an excellent number of arrests to have witnessed. Right? Because that's a safe life you're living. I was in Perth 2.5 weeks. 6.
Jesus.
So yeah, Jesus, technically 6.5. And the half is an amazing story. So I was walking down like the main street in Perth, right? But because it's Perth, it's like a slightly fucked main street. So this is like Francis Street in Perth. It's got two Irish pubs on the same block, of course. One like weird overpriced Italian restaurant down there. And remember that time zone? Remember those time zone arcades? Like one of them, right? So I'm walking down Francis Street and I see this guy getting arrested down an alley by two police officers, right? I don't know what he's getting arrested for. I'm gonna guess it had a lot to do with the drugs he was telling the police officers he wasn't taking. So I'm like, I'm gonna get away from the drug arrest. And as I decide to keep walking, this woman is riding her bike down the street. And she gets car doored by a woman in a four-wheel drive. So this woman falls off her bike. She has a helmet on, but that's still quite confronting. I'd never seen that before. That was a bit scary. And I was like, oh, I should ask whether that woman's going to be okay. Like, I should get over to her and check that she's okay, offer some help. Maybe I can get the cops, you know, once I see if she's okay. Before I can get there, though, to ask whether she's okay, a very good indication of how okay she was is that she got up off the ground, right? And the woman who'd car-doored her was now standing outside the car, and the woman who'd fallen on the ground got up, just walked back onto the road without looking where the cars were going to hit her, walked back, bent over, and then, like a wounded bull, just charged full-on headfirst at the woman who had car-doored her. It was fucking insane, right? And of course, by the way, this was Wednesday. I was like, oh, I'm definitely gonna get out of here now. Like, I don't wanna be here. But this is what Perth is like. I was like, I'm gonna walk away. This guy walking towards me on the footpath, he sees these two women kicking off, like on the road, then gets to where I am and sees the two cops arresting this drunk guy. And this is what people in Perth are like. This is just a normal Wednesday for them. His response is to see that, and then he just goes, taps the cop on the shoulder and just goes, "Oi, mate, sort that out, would you?" Unbelievable. It was like a citizen's arrest by proxy. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen. I'll just tell you one more thing about Perth, and then I'll leave. I'll stand over here while the two of you interrogate me. Before I went to Perth, right, I was a bit worried about going to Perth, about, you know, sort of how my gigs would go over there. And I was catching up with a mate of mine in Melbourne, a mate of mine from Adelaide called Stephen. Stephen's over in Melbourne, catching up with him. And Stephen, by way of background, is the straightest white man you have ever met, right? Now, I wouldn't say that normally, but that's important for background, because I'm actually not, right? I'm actually one of the gays. I'm the one that, if you read Andrew Bolt, is coming for your kids, which is not true. But I also think, like, sometimes when I say I'm gay, audiences get slightly confused by that, because I don't think I necessarily look or sound particularly gay. Significant percentage of you now going, no! Right? But anyway, so I'm talking to Stephen, right? And I was a bit worried about Perth, and then Stephen was trying to, like, encourage me, and he was going, like, nah, Pat, you're going to love it in Perth, mate. And this is where his mind went. He was like, you're going to love it in Perth. You're going to find yourself a fella. And I was like, oh, Stephen, why? Why am I going to find myself a boyfriend in Perth? And like this was a secret that he was letting me in on, he looked around and then just went, FIFO. And I was like, Stephen, like FIFO, like fly-in, fly-out workers. You know those guys who spend like 6 weeks in the mines and then like a week and a half in the city of Perth doing ice and getting wasted? I'm like, Stephen, I don't think you're setting my sights of my dream man high enough for me, you know? Like, and also, like, Stephen, I don't want to stereotype, right? But I'm pretty sure that most FIFO workers aren't my demographic. You know, like, I'm sure some of them are gay, but I think most of them are just guys in high-vis vests who smash rocks for a living. And I'm pretty sure they drink VB, or whatever the equivalent is. You know, like, I'm not sure they don't drink Pinot Grigio, is my point. Right? But then Stephen, bless him, Stephen just says to me, "Nah, Pat, think about it. A lot of guys who work together, live together, and hang out with each other, it'll be just like prison." It's not, Stephen. I tell you who actually really fucking hated that joke. Guys at gigs in Perth. Trust me, they didn't go for that at all. There'd be a lot of guys in the third row, and they weren't wearing high vis. You could just smell it coming off them. You'd tell them that theory, and they'd be like, "This cunt does not understand how FIFO works." But anyway, guys, thank you so much.
Let's get to your plug out first of all. Tell us about your show.
My show is called Don't Watch the News, Watch Pat McCaffrey. It's on at 9:45 from now until the end of the festival, 8:45 on Sundays. It's at the Chinese Museum, which is on Little Bourke Street. So if you just walk up Little Bourke Street towards Parliament, eventually it's on your left. There are two lions outside. Actually, funny story, I was handing out a flyer trying to describe to this guy where the venue was. And you know, like, how some people, like, he was an older guy, like in his 60s, but you know how some people, like, they live a hard life.
Yeah.
And so he's in his 60s, but he looks like late 70s, right? So I'm handing it off fire, trying to explain where the venue is. And I was trying to explain in so much detail. Like, I was like, "You got Little Bourke Street, it's on your left. There's these two lions there. You walk through there." And then, like, suddenly something in his head clicked and he went, "Oh, yeah. It's right opposite that Pookie's den I love."
Fuck off.
I was like, "I gotta take the flyer back." Thank you. Yeah, so if you love that Pookie's den too, opposite that.
I tried to get into Pat's show last night. It was sold out, so if you are interested in seeing Pat, book tickets.
Book tickets. Unless you want to come tonight. Yeah, just walk up at the door.
Yeah.
But generally, book tickets.
I also, as you know, was over
in Perth. You were in Perth.
Yeah, we just missed each other.
Did, yeah.
And I can see now why you were so keen to have a friend in town.
That was like, "I'm coming over," and I was like, "Let's catch up."
Yeah.
Like, "Can we catch up, and can I be lying on a couch for the entire time?" Yeah. How did you go in Perth, though?
Perth was interesting. The thing you said about, because you came up and you did the same thing that I did, almost every gig in Perth, I said, "Oh, this is a nice town." Because
I didn't start gigs with that.
No, you did just then. You're like, "It's a lovely town." You're like, "It's a nice town." And I don't know that you meant it, and I don't know that you were aware that you said it.
Oh.
And the only reason I picked up on it is because I did the same thing, and they all responded the same way, which is the same fucking town.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't say it, but it was in their eyes, and I was just like, "No, you're right. It has the feel of a town, but it's not a town."
I literally started every gig in Perth with just reminding Perth people about their shameful failure to do anything about preventable Indigenous Australians dying in custody. Like, I just started every gig like that.
Well,
and they'd be like,
and then,
"Is this fuckhead?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm not going to win you round. I fucking hate you."
And they weren't on board with you? I don't understand.
Yes, yeah. And then I told them that FIFO workers were gay and they weren't on board with me. It's fucking bullshit.
Man, it's a tough
line.
No, they're all nice, you kids.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Perth, though. The people who weren't at the gigs are lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you hand them a flyer, they're delightful.
Yeah.
And then the people who show up to comedy are just they're like,
the good people are like Costello Beach.
They're like, "This guy's not Jamoan, I hate this."
It's true, he's not Jamoan.
No. Almost the anti Jamoan. It's true though. I had a lot of, like, even the flyers in town were all really lovely. And everyone who I encountered never once got yelled back about, you know, handing out flyers and stuff. I think they were all super keen about the festival. It was just nice. I don't know, I guess it was exciting for them to have something happening. It was just, I don't know.
Well, and here's the thing, I'm from Adelaide, right? I think people in Melbourne are quite nice about flyers. Maybe Adelaide sets a very low standard. Because, like, in Adelaide, if you hand someone a flyer, I think the thing in Adelaide is everyone in Adelaide thinks you're like a charity worker.
Right,
so, like, when you hand them a flyer, or you try to hand them a flyer, they just fucking hiss at you.
It doesn't help that you've got the, you know, the Wildlife Foundation symbol on your posters.
Yeah.
Like,
Now that is
what we call unprofessional. it's not like he's the co-host or anything. It's fine. He's not familiar with.
If you do that, am I allowed to drink on stage?
It's my age.
I wouldn't have stopped you from drinking on stage.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I'm drinking white wine because I'm bitter.
That's not true.
Beautiful. All right. So, like a mix of political and other.
I mean, it's mostly political.
Mostly political.
Bit of complaint
hence
about
the title.
Yeah.
A small bit about anti-perf.
Yeah.
The rest mostly politics.
Yeah.
Which can be anti-perf.
Awesome.
I love these local references, or not so much local, but like at least regional references for at least for these guys who, I don't know, are you following? Like, have you travelled much through Australia? Have you done? No. See, all the Perth stuff. Don't go through Perth. Through it. But keep going.
So we keep on this side of the
lobby.
Yeah. All right, Sam.
Yeah.
Stay up here, though.
You stay.
We'll
bring
Anthony back up.
You stay. I feel like one of the dogs from that improv show before downstairs.
Yeah. So, we might.
This guy gets it.
We'll head into the second half of this, which is our two guests here will pick someone from the crowd. They're gonna play for you, and we'll just do some silly improv questions. We've got a theme that we've cooked up. The theme for this episode is weird days, as in, so we've got April Fool's Day is a pretty well acknowledged thing, but there's like a whole list of obscure days if you go looking hard enough for them, and you don't have to look that hard, to be honest. They're out there, and they're like national days. Sometimes they're just like things that grassroots stuff that people are trying to get up. So that's the thing. I got some questions for these guys. We'll put up some things. They'll play for someone. That person who wins will walk away with some free tickets to shows, including my own. So we'll figure out details later. Right, let's get into it. So, I guess to start off, just turn it off.
Is the first one National Turn Your Phone On Silent Day?
If not, it will now be April 15th. This is my grassroots campaign to get things going. Right. So
is it on silent now, though?
Yeah. Right. That's good. That's good.
Would have thought that would have been a good idea the first time.
I didn't think people want to speak to me that much. We missed money. Fuck it.
What's his number? Let's try. That's actually on silent.
We'll just leave it out from the audience. All right. So, I don't know how many people are aware of this, but there's a the month of April has been put down as Caperl. All right, so wear capes, and it's actually as ridiculous as it sounds. It's actually for a good cause. It's for Beyond Blue, and it's sort of like a thing to help raise funds and awareness for Beyond Blue, right? So that's a nice one. So we're not gonna make fun of Caperl, but we figured there was at least gonna be a bunch of other days that we could get in there, right? We could probably create our own one. So if you can't, it's fine. We made up a bunch. We sat around one lunch making up a bunch of them. It was good fun. But if you can, come up with a month of the year. And tie it to a item of clothing, and what would that be? What charity would it be raising awareness for?
You like Caperl.
Okay.
So just before, can I just say,
yes.
Right around Anzac Day, this is a real day. I get insomnia every now and then. Like a couple of years ago, I was listening to the BBC World Service at like 3 a.m, and right around April, they were talking about like in a couple of weeks' time, there's a big day, national significance. It's huge. It was 2015. Because it was the 100-year anniversary of Anzac Day, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's going to be Anzac Day. And then without irony, the BBC World News reporter just said, so International Jazz Music Day is coming up. That's a real thing. Trust me, go to UNICEF. It's about how jazz music has made an important social, political, and cultural contribution to world events. No, it hasn't. Unless its contribution has been about the contributions you don't hear.
Right.
No.
Well, it was making a bunch of those before it got appropriated by white people. And then I was like, well, now it just sits here.
Yeah.
Looking, sounding.
give us an example then.
Right, yeah, that's actually
Cable's
true.
Cable's the actual one.
Cable's
the
actual one.
We were thinking.
Other garments, we got Bovember, right? Which could be combined with Movember as an anti-pedophile awareness month.
No, Movember, Bo's.
What is the correlation between bow ties and petticoats? I've not heard
it's
this.
Combined with the mo.
Yeah, strictly when combined with the mo.
Croctober. Everyone wears Crocs. It's the awareness for poor fashion choices.
That should be a Steve Irwin thing.
No. You'd rather have it for like the Wildlife Foundation. That's fine. All right. Any thoughts? If nothing comes to mind, it's fine. It's a tough one. We said.
I'm trying to think like. Flanuary, but flans are a type of cake, not really a...
No,
we've flannel. Got
flanuary. Oh, flannels, yeah.
That's the code sign of Australia.
Yeah. You could be raising money for lesbians who've given up. I'm dressed like that, so it's fine. Recently single. What else? Cap? I don't know. If it sounds like I'm raising money, like MDMA ads.
Orvest?
Yeah, we got some MDMA users in the back.
That was fun. All right, so we'll kill that. We'll go through the few that we came up with.
Yeah.
It's tough. July. So you wear a yarmulke to raise money to educate people about the Holocaust, to stop Holocaust deniers.
Okay.
Careful
about that one.
Yeah. We treaded as carefully as we could. Yeah. June boots. So you've got to wear moon boots, create awareness for our disabled brethren. It's a walk as a month to walk in their boots. Yeah, so that's sort
what
of
about, what about Explorer Socktober? That's raise money for people who get frostbite on their
feet. For people who are crazy enough to climb cold mountains.
Yeah.
And the last one we had was Flanuary, which this is fine. Cool. All right, so April 1st is, of course, April Fool's Day.
I hate April Fool's Day, by the way. Does anyone else hate April Fool's Day?
Fair enough.
Like, it's just, like, you played a trick on someone. Good.
Yeah.
Nobody does it anymore except businesses, either. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just... It's like the party when your parents came in and everyone's like, oh, fuck it, it's over. Because now on Facebook, like April Fool's Day, it's just a bunch of businesses pretending we don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And everybody else pretending we don't know.
Or like disgusting couples on Facebook being like, now single, heartbroken. Fuck off, Sandra, I know you're actually happy. You know,
I would hate to
actually have a
breakup. Have a
sad news.
Ultrasound. Because that's the other one everybody does. He's like, guess who's pregnant? And everybody be like, fuck off, we know what you're doing. And you don't know. And you're just like, I swear, guys.
Or like any kind of bereavement.
Yeah. Where everyone tunes out online. Which should be more days, to be honest. If we're being completely
honest. Everyone should just assume everything's a prank call.
Yeah.
That's true.
Alright, but it's also Atheist Day. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's called Atheist Day.
On April 1st.
On April, yeah, which does to
we
me...
We should be careful to talk about Atheist Day over this particular weekend, shouldn't we?
That's
all right with it.
Yeah, because Jesus is coming back tomorrow, man. So
he's resting today.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Can't touch me. Which to me, like, putting Atheist Day on April Fool's Day seems like a giant prank that everyone's just missed. Like,
this is what we're celebrating, guys, it's Atheist Day.
But they've persisted, right? And they've pushed through. They don't really have a way to celebrate it, right? They don't really have a consistent way to celebrate it. But most public holidays that we do celebrate, it's just like a weird collection of celebrations, right? So Christmas as the birth of Jesus, so we give gifts. St. Patrick's Day, which is the unofficial day of Ireland everywhere else, so we get drunk and do that, you know, racist Irish accents, you know, like, to be sure, you know, stuff like that. That's how we celebrate. And Halloween, which is supposed to be the celebration of the harvest festival and the Day of the Dead, so naturally, in order to honor them, we dress up as sexy versions of popular culture. how do you think we might celebrate Atheist Day?
I think the easiest way to celebrate World Atheist Day would be to get a bunch of atheists, we can all sit around a table, play Russian roulette, and then one of us ends up dead and gets to celebrate the eternal nothingness of death. All of us think is actually what happens. And they're dead, but they're right. Yeah. And that's what all atheists ultimately want. That's all that it's about.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the atheists have to sort of wonder whether Matt, who's now dead, can send some kind of message from beyond the grave that there is no afterlife, but then you do, and then we're like, fuck, actually, maybe there is an afterlife, because Matt's talking to us right. Fine, now just give me the gun, load it with six more bullets, so we can shoot the rest of us. That is how I imagine, that's how I'd say
that's the only way to celebrate atheist day.
Yeah.
Any suggestions?
I don't have a suggestion, because I just think the idea of atheists organising in any way is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a friend who had a secular, non-denominational Sunday choir.
Mm,
and I'm like,
sounds
that,
appealing.
That's fucking church without God. Just
yeah,
fuck off and
yeah.
stuff. But the whole thing about giving up on belief for me was like, I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah,
else.
I'm not required to do.
I get to sleep
anyway.
In. My family doesn't have to look at me when I'm hungover. That is, to me, more than being right, the gift of non-belief.
Like
a responsibility. Yeah, just sleeping in on a Sunday when I'm coming down.
Yeah, sleeping in and having a big old wank.
Is there like a world agnostic day? Like, we're not sure.
Yeah, where they sit around like, is there a cake?
It could be. The cake is a lie.
Yeah.
I think there should be days to celebrate other things we don't believe as well. Just like National I Don't Believe in Loch Ness Monster Day.
Yeah.
Just walk around and fucking don't believe it, mate. Just every day.
Yes, that is a celebration. I'd love a Bigfoot celebration just to acknowledge that we don't believe in Bigfoot.
Has anyone seen, there's a great TV show called like Hunting Bigfoot? It's amazing.
I've seen the kind of
there are nine seasons of Hunting Bigfoot. Nine. It's amazing. I'm like, guys, you've got to acknowledge you're not good at hunting Bigfoot. And there's one member of the four member team who they make reenact Bigfoot scenes because it looks the most like Bigfoot. It's amazing. So like whenever someone's like, oh, I saw Bigfoot, what did he do? Well, he ran from like point A to point B. They make this guy run from point A to point B like he's Bigfoot, and then the guy will be like, nah, that didn't look like Bigfoot at all. I'm like, nah, it looks enough like Bigfoot.
I think that is my calling in life.
Yeah,
I that dude.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can start our own format, Bigfoot Hunting Team.
Let's do it now.
And we're giving up the podcast life, the lucrative podcast life, and going out and hunting Bigfoot.
These guys must have made so much money from Bigfoot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you're going to commit, then you want to be making like some sort of...
The person I feel sorry for is the person on the team who's meant to be the skeptic. I'm like, you have sold yourself. You're like, I don't believe in Bigfoot, although I definitely will pretend to sort of believe in Bigfoot in order to make money from this TV show. Oh, she's a scientist.
Yeah. Oh, that's what she says.
But it's like global warming all over again, bloody scientists.
Alright, that was fun. So April 9th is technically classified as Unicorn Day, right? Yeah, if you can believe that's a thing.
Sorry, weren't you just talking about celebrating days for things we
don't
believe?
Yeah. So we're on that vein. Which to me feels a lot like Talk Like a Pirate Day. It's just something that the idea is it's supposed to be like to celebrate the magic, like not letting go of the magic or whatever. But the only way they came up to celebrate Unicorn Day was to make rainbow cupcakes. That's the only idea they came up with, which is the least magical idea I've heard.
That's surely Cupcake Day then.
Right? Yeah, it's not Unicorn Day. They're not even saying like put little things on them and make them like pointy cupcakes. They're just like, just make cupcakes. Take them to work. And tell everyone you still believe in unicorns. Because that's... I would have gone with maybe making a piñata full of red fruit dye so that you can drink unicorn blood. Just bam, whack it open.
Yeah.
Or
try and get two horses to breed a unicorn.
Yeah.
Or like a
rhino maybe?
Yeah, there you go.
A brony pride for it maybe?
They're endangered as well.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A way to keep rhinos alive. In unicorn form.
Alright, so that was going to be the question. Some better suggestions for celebrating unicorn day.
Do unicorns fly?
No, that's Pegasus. That's Pegasus. Although, I'm sure there's someone that has done.
There's no room for error on this podcast. The unicorn fly? That's Pegasus. Fuck it. Get your mythical creatures right.
Please do.
Yeah.
So, you know, unicorns are the national animal of Scotland.
What?
Yeah.
I thought the national animal of Scotland was a haggis jumping heroin addict.
It used to be.
Okay.
They changed it recently. They thought it was bad for their image. They went with the unicorn, which I don't know why. I can't find a reasoning for why. I always thought it was weird that they went with that when they have Loch Ness. They have Loch Like, if you're going to go for mythical creature, go with one that's like homegrown, right?
They were definitely drunk when they picked their national everything, because their national plant is a fucking thistle. It's like the most unappealing thing. It's like their accent, really. They're trying to warn people.
Don't come here. Everything is pointy, even our national animal.
What has Scotland got?
Loch Ness.
Animal-wise? Yeah. Loch Ness wants a thistle and fucking bagpipes.
And
I think I'm adding Scotland.
Rangers, lots of Rangers.
Those are my people.
All
right, well, I think we've got the only answer we're going to get out of that, which is breed horses to make unicorns. And one last one. Speaking of, this would be something you probably have to deal with one day. It's a Love Your Produce Manager Day, which is, which is the most bullshit. So, let me just go through this. Now, I couldn't find the actual history of this, but I know that it's just like a forced piece of marketing to get people into like
create community,
you know, all that sort of bullshit, right? So basically, what have we got? So yeah, it's pretty shit.
Is there anyone who grows fruits and veggies?
Well, it's like produce manager.
So
that's
it's
the
like
guy who's
buy
in
fruit and vegetable to say thank you to the farmers. Well,
it's like chat to him and ask him.
Chat
the whole
to
thing. Yeah, the whole thing is like chat to your produce manager. Ask him about the
in
specials. He loves his job. Like, nobody loves their job that much, for a start. And that's just basically like force someone into awkward interactions all day.
I think
so that we can sell some more veggies.
I think Love Your Produce Manager Day should be a national strike to make them pay retail staff award rates again.
Because that's
or
yes, right.
Penalty rates again.
Penalty,
yeah, yeah.
Bring
that
to
I think that, that, that's how you
that
should celebrate.
That is the greatest way to celebrate.
Yeah. Don't say hello, get him some fucking weekend raises.
We'll just give the produce manager like a microphone so they don't have to yell all the time about the price of bananas.
Yeah.
It's a workplace injury waiting to happen.
Right.
It's
going to come in one day. But I was thinking, so those are fantastic, I love those. But what are some other unsung heroes who corporate entities think need to be celebrated? And how might we celebrate them? So I came up with Women Online Day, which clearly you celebrate by sending them dick pics, and all day, just huge celebration. And Janitor Day, which is celebrated by leaving a big shit on a toilet bowl and getting drunk and stealing a feather duster and pretending that it's a dick. You know, that's the kind of level of respect that the produce manager is getting on Produce Day. So anything else? Anyone else who might want to be celebrated and how we might celebrate them?
I'd personally like to see Love a Copywriter Day where you just tell copywriters in advertising that what we do is okay. And essentially, you're lying to us, but that's what we do to you for 356 days of the week. So, yeah.
No, that's good.
So like World Relief Teacher Day, where for the first time ever you show relief teachers respect and do what they ask.
That is funny.
That's feel forced.
I feel like World Relief Teacher Day should just be standard teachers not chucking a sickie for a day.
Yeah, really, the onus is on the teachers, not the students.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. That. All right, so like out of sheer consistency of answers, I'm going to give it to Pat on that. So we didn't pick anyone for you to play, so pick someone from the audience who you'd like to see come along and win some tickets.
I could pick the baby boomers because I was mean to them. You so look like you hated everything I said.
Cursing with free tickets to see more.
I think this lovely gentleman who said, I'm a sucker for people who come to things on their own.
That's a
great
move.
Yeah. Oh, you came with someone? I feel lied to.
I'm just
you were
just people alone here.
You were deceived.
You got a chess shirt on?
Record label.
Oh, I thought you meant like the activity.
Well, I can play the game.
So he comes.
I'm better at playing records than I am at playing chess.
How many lies have you told?
It comes alone to things where in a record label shows, he's like, come check out my record label.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start a conversation.
Yeah. Edit James's record
label. Oh, there you go. We all learned something today. We'll grab your details to start the show. We ran a little short today because we're down a guest, but thank you all so much for coming out. It's a little haphazard, but we got there in the end. We do have one more, so if you enjoyed today, if you want a chance to win a few more free tickets, I would say come back next week on Saturday at 4:30. We're going to give away some more tickets. We've got some amazing guests for our final show. It's going to be a fun one. So thank you very much, guys. Thanks for coming out.